Sunita joins us in studio. Before we get to Sunita, just a reminder about our quiz. We're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our whodunit quiz. A great two-night stay in the Wilder townhouse in Dublin. And your qualifying question is, which city in Switzerland is this year's Eurovision Song Contest taking place? Is it Basel or Rosemary? 0818 715 925, 0818 715 925. Now, Sunita, you need no introduction. Well, maybe a little bit of this. How about a bit of this? Everybody, here we go.
So macho, he's gotta be. So
macho, he's gotta have.
Big and strong, enough to turn me on.
Yeah, there you go. Live version of So Macho from Sunita. Great to see you, Sunita, and you're coming to the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre as part of Now That's What I Call a Musical.
Yes.
What
yes,
a brilliant idea.
It's such a great idea,
isn't
right?
It? Yes.
And now all that amazing music gets to be brought back and, you know, handed to the next generation.
Yes. Yeah. And they've made a story out of it.
Mm-hmm. A great story. So the story is about a school reunion. So it's like a 40-year anniversary and everybody goes back to the disco they used to all hang out at. And, you know, you're seeing the first boyfriend and yes. all of this. And they do lots of flashbacks. But when they do go to flashbacks, the whole stage turns back into the 80s. So it's like we're there again.
Tears for Fears, Erasure.
Tears for Fears.
All the hits, all the
everybody.
Hits. And, of course, So Macho.
And So Macho, yeah.
Now, we are lucky in Dublin because there is a different star on different
yes,
legs of the tour, and
that's
you're
right.
on the Dublin leg.
I'm on the Dublin leg, yes. So lucky me, because it's one of the nicest. I mean, can you imagine? I'm playing, let me get it right, the Bord Gáis.
Yeah.
The Bord Gáis.
I left it on your
yeah,
own.
Yeah, you gave me that look. I was like, okay.
here.
Yeah, because it's so
Bord,
stunning. I've seen
Bord
it. Only,
gosh. Bord,
oh, Bord Gáis. Gosh. Oh, yeah.
So like gosh. Like yeah, gosh. Gosh. Because it's the Irish word for gas.
For gas.
Yeah.
That's why, you see, because they gave me the whole education. They should have just told me
just
the word.
Just think gosh.
Not
think gosh.
Gas. Yeah, Bord Gáis.
There you go. You
got it.
In one. Bord Gáis. And now that's what I called a musical. And you're going to be singing So Macho. So that's easy enough for you.
It's easy. I still know the words. Actually, I still know the moves, bizarrely. But it's great. Yes. Yeah, so I get to do Dublin. And then you have Carol Decker and Sonia, who's, we alternate
Tapao
different.
And Sonia. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
different cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and of course, you're doing Eurovision here. Just saying Sonia, Eurovision.
Exactly.
See, there's
exactly.
a lot of synchronicity.
And you have a Eurovision connection as well.
I do.
Go on.
So the show that you're doing at the moment, the sort of choosing the song that will represent Ireland.
Yes.
I did a song for Britain.
What year?
I don't know. But Terry Wogan was the guy.
Yes.
Was the host.
And was that before you had a hit with So Macho?
Yes.
It was.
So it was
right.
the same year. Okay, so it was 86.
Right.
It was 86 because I can remember I was in it and so was Hazel Dean. We got
Dean.
Down to the last sort of six acts.
Yes, yeah.
Belle and the Devotions went on to win it. But within 3 months, Hazel Dean and I were both in the top 10
yes.
with our own songs.
Were you spotted by Stock Aitken and Waterman? Has that happened? No.
No. Simon went to them to get songs because I went to him with So Macho.
Right.
But we didn't have any other, we didn't have any more songs. So
aha.
they were kind of killing it with Mel and Kim and Princess and everyone and the sort of Motown of the day, really.
Yeah.
So we went to them and Pete was like, well, you know, tell us something about her. And, you know, so well, she's just done Muting the Bounty with David Essex and they were dating famously, but now they've broken up and, you know, I'm dating this boy who's dancing with me. Oh, okay. And then they came back in a few weeks with Toy Boy.
Ah, yes. Toy Boy, yeah. Of course, Toy Boy, yes.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Simon there. Was that Simon Cowell?
Simon Cowell, yes.
You've known him that long?
I've known him that long. And before that, because we'd made the record, I think, I'd done the demo in 84 and we'd sort of take it around different records clubs, you
yes.
know, the Acetate and Radio State, trying to get someone to play it. No one was really interested. And then it took 2 years for us to actually break it.
That's 40 years ago.
It can't be 40 years ago because I'm only 37.
Of course. How does that work? You defy science. Yeah, so that's, I didn't realise you knew him that long.
Yeah, and I've known Louis that long as well.
Yes.
Because Louis used to bring me to Dublin to sort of go around the clubs and the discos and everything to, and the radio stations to promote it, because there wasn't digital radio in those days. So I've known Louis and we've known each other forever. Yeah.
So there is a good book in you.
There is a good one, a good book exactly. Yes, I need to get that together. So many times I've started and then, you know.
What stops you?
Done it. I just think life just keeps happening. Yeah. You know, when you sort of think, okay, let me see how this turns out first.
Or do you know too much?
Yeah, I probably know where all the bodies are buried.
Yes, I'd say. I'd read that book, Sinead. I'd definitely read that book. So you've had an interesting life because, and you understand, and that's the brilliant thing, I suppose, when we see you alongside Simon in the, whatever they call the, what did they call it, the something houses, the, you know.
Oh, when, the judges' houses.
The judges' houses, yeah. Yes. That you understand this life that these young people are being fired into.
Yes.
Because that was you.
Yeah.
Because you were very young when it happened.
Yeah, I was young when it happened, but I think it was different for me because I was third generation. You know, my mother was in the music industry.
Yeah, Miguel
had
Brown.
A big hit with Close to Perfection.
What a brilliant song.
So Many Men, So Little Time. And then Amy Stewart, Knock on Wood, Light My Fire, My Auntie. So I kind of...
Amy Stewart's your auntie?
Yeah.
No way.
Yep.
Amy Stewart's your auntie.
I mean, okay, well, that was good. I'm going to say that more often.
Yes.
But, you know, so I've grown up behind the scenes in the dressing rooms. You know, they were both in theatre as well, West End theatre. So at least I wasn't, you know, literally just a schoolgirl with no connections
to
the industry. And I knew a lot of the people, a lot of familiar faces at the TV stage, the producers and things, because, you know, I'd been the kid sort of going in with my mother.
But all of that experience didn't prevent you then, like after the 80s had finished, and although you'd had all these hits, that you fell on hard times, did you, a bit?
Yeah, I think just financially. But, you know, I was always working. It's very, I think, again, because of my mother being in the industry and my auntie, it's that even though I probably became a more high profile or more famous, it was still a job. It was still a job, you know, at home. Like at home, you want a pop star because everybody was a pop star at home. You know what
I
mean?
Yes.
So, you know, it was always important to sort of be working and, you know, doing something that you enjoyed. But, you know, you had to have a job. And I think...
And when you were looking, say, for example, like you were there in judges' houses when One Direction arrived. Or, and when you were looking at these lads, like Niall Horan, like a young lad from Mullingar.
Yeah.
You know, still wet behind the ears. And are you thinking, oh, no, this industry is going to gobble you up and spit you out?
See, unfortunately, I didn't see that.
Right.
I saw like a basket of puppies come in, absolutely adorable, and oh my gosh, they can all sing and they're so charming, and oh my god, they're going to be huge. I literally saw that before they'd finished the first song,
and you were right,
pressing my elbow into Simon like, as if, is this really happening? Because when there's that, you know, you can feel it when it really happens when you're in the presence of stardom or stardom that's about to break, you get this thrill.
Yeah, and it was the, all of them together.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Massive impact.
Yes, and you were very sad at when poor Liam Payne died.
Of course, shocked and you know, just devastating. Really, you know, just he's still a boy. Yeah.
And do you do when something like that happens? Do you do the what ifs? You know, I don't know if the industry can support people like him, can they?
I mean, it's so hard because, you know, you can sort of say, well, if he'd never done this, but you've got to remember that this was a child that knew his destiny. He was determined. He auditioned for the show when he was 14, managed to get Trick Us All. And I remember being in Barbados thinking, wow, well, there's one. And then we found out he was still only 14.
I didn't know that.
So then he came back 2 years later, and that's when he went into One Direction. So this was a child who knew that he was going to be a pop star. He could feel it. He could almost taste it. So there was nothing that couldn't stop that. And then you think the family who sort of had all that sort of pride and happiness and excitement having that happen to their boy, and then they lose him. And you sort of think, well, you would swap it, wouldn't you? You'd go, okay, well, let's forget all of that just to have him.
Working down the local supermarket.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to have him alive, yeah. So you've seen it all. I'm just in my head, and it's just, they're all flashing in front of me. So Simon was virtually unknown, totally unknown when you met him first.
Oh yeah.
And you've seen him, you know, grow into this global figure.
Literally from nothing. I mean, even when I signed with him, people were like, why are you signing with who? Because, you know, in those days you had RCA, you had BMG, EMI, all these massive record companies, and a few of them were actually chasing me. And I'd signed a couple of deals before, obviously when I did Eurovision, and before that had had Soul Records out. But I really wanted to sing pop. But if you remember back in those days, music was still segregated. You know, you had Greg Edwards who played soul music.
Yeah.
You had Radio 1 who played pop.
Yes, yes.
And it was also, so, you know, blackface and pop wasn't really what anyone was looking for. And Simon was the one who said, well, if you sign with me, you can do, you can sing whatever you want.
Here's another coincidence. Because old mates of mine were signed by Simon Cowell as well.
Who were they?
Zig and Zag.
I know them well. Where are they? How are they doing? Are they
still doing around? Great. Yeah, they're doing great. They're doing great. I meet them every so often. They're really. And they always talk fondly about Simon Cowell. He's able to spot a hit, isn't he? He's able to spot both a hit song and a hit act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is it about him? Is it increase your failure rate, or is it just that he has something special?
Tell you what, it's very strange because he can't sing a note or dance himself at all. Like, you know, if you've seen him in a club, he dances with a finger, wags his finger. But, you know, he's just, he does have a taste for it. But I have to say, he has missed a few. You know, like he famously didn't sign the Spice Girls.
He famously
didn't sign Take That. So
he love you for recounting his misses.
Yes, sorry, darling, but just saying.
And have you ever fallen out with him?
Oh, well, you know, when you've known someone that long, and also remember we used to date as well. So, you know, regularly, daily, but we always made up as well.
Right. So David Essex, Simon Cowell, and I'm not going through your, but you're very public about this. The one that I didn't know about until today is Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
You dated Brad Pitt?
Yeah. Now, the thing is, only, and then people go, oh, she only dates famous men. The only one of those people that was famous was David Essex. Simon wasn't famous when I was with Simon. Brad wasn't famous.
Was there a time when Brad Pitt wasn't famous? Okay,
yeah.
Fine, right.
He used to play Priscilla Presley's daughter's boyfriend in Dallas. And I think he was really happy to have that role as well. And I was already, you know, a sort of pop star in the relationship.
Yes.
And that's why it's so annoying. People go, oh, she only dates famous people. And it's like, no, I think I make people famous.
You have something. That's your
Simon,
superpower.
Simon, you owe me, baby.
That's your superpower. we're delighted to see you. And Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. Now that's what I call a musical. And Sunita will be there singing so much. Are you only singing one song?
I can't tell you.
It's a
surprise.
Okay.
But the good thing is the audience gets to sing as well. So if you want to, you don't have to. But if you get taken up in the moment and you want to get up and dance and sing, you can. But there is a proper storyline. So it's not just a sort of standing up and
as I said at the start, a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Now, just before we let you go, on your bucket list, loads of things. And you've been in loads of reality TV. But the one that's sort of passed you by
is
Strictly. You still want
I can't believe you brought that up.
Sorry. I have a theory.
No, it's fine.
Here's my theory. Yeah. And you've probably come across this yourself. That you are so attached to Simon and Simon's so attached to ITV that maybe the bosses of the BBC don't want you on one of their...
Because they used to be rival shows.
Yes.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It could be that.
It could be that. It could be that.
Or maybe they're just waiting for me to get really, really, really old and then I can be the comedy act.
You'll never be the comedy act, Sunita. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And good luck with the show.
Thank you so much. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE.